Okay, when did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Well, let's just say I'm a weirdo and I want to be messy and see what you're up to, like who you're hanging with. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
I knew you did that.
No, I did not do that. I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in Messages and keep it between friends. And then use that money any place Apple Pay is accepted.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Monica, please keep it in the chat. Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
We are supported by Taco Bell.
Ooh. Oh, man. We often do two recordings a day, and we have this little nice lunch break that we enjoy, and we're always craving something really yummy.
Yes, something fresh, something high quality, something like the all-new Cantina Chicken menu from Taco Bell, which is exactly that.
Mm. It's so yummy. It has slow-roasted chicken, the pico, that purple cabbage, and an avocado verde salsa sauce. Oh, delicious.
Outrageous. The new Cantina Chicken Tacos, Burrito, and Quesadilla are the perfect daytime choice. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Armchair Anonymous. I'm Buck Rogers, and I'm joined by the Duchess of Duluth.
Where did Buck Rogers come from?
That was a show when I was a kid, Buck Rogers. It was kind of maybe a B version of Star Trek. He was a starship trooper fighter.
Okay,
pilot.
Well, when you go by Buck Rogers on those days,
yeah.
Can I go by Michelle Tanner?
Oh my God, yes. Who's Michelle Tanner?
Mary-Kate and Ashley from Full House.
Oh, okay, interesting. I guess that works. If we were playing Connections, it would work in TV characters.
Exactly.
But I'm always inclined to pin a sci-fi name on you, like RTD2 or RDD, whatever he is.
Well, it has to be something you can pronounce.
Yeah, okay, CP3, no, not sure what that one is.
C-3PO and R2-D2.
Okay, those have always been hard for me. Did they roll off your tongue?
C-3PO, R2-D2, yes, but I'm not into sci-fi.
Right, nor are you a robot.
But I am a Michelle Tanner.
Okay, great, Michelle Tanner. I'm now learning that name. I don't know that name, but I'm going to try to commit that.
You might have to practice.
Let's go from the top. Okay. And we're still rolling everyone back to one. I'm Buck Rogers, and I'm joined by Michelle Tanner.
That's me. You got it, dude.
Oh, my God. Great. And you'll have a catchphrase. This works out big time for me. Today, we're going to hear cautionary tales. They run the gamut, as you might expect, these cautionary tales. But I also want to tell everybody next month's prompts, which are, tell us a crazy stalking story. If you were murdered in this one, it probably won't be fun for us. So.
Well, no, we do accept ghosts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us a crazy stalking story. Tell us about a secret your parents kept from you as a kid. Shout out to the armchair who suggested that. Great one. Tell us a crazy house sitting story. Also was a suggestion from an armchair. Tell us a crazy mall story. Monica's suggestion.
You guys, mall stories can be lots of things. They can be shoplifting. They can be hookups. They can be in the food court.
I had
court.
A mall hookup. In the
See?
Burger King bathroom.
You already want to tell it.
Yeah, but I must protect her identity. My hookup.
DJ Tanner.
RT Tanner. RDD Tanner. Please enjoy cautionary tales.
Hard times come and go. Good times take them slow. My life, I had them both. Remember one thing you gotta know. Keep on shining.
Cautionary tale. Mine is don't get sick. That's my cautionary tale.
Did you take your lead D?
I did, yeah. My big breakthrough was taking Tussin DM last night before
Tussin?
I went. Tussin. It's the generic brand for Robitussin.
Oh my God.
Tussin.
They're allowed to do that?
Yeah, Tussin.
I don't like
that.
Tussle
at all. With Tussin. And boy, oh boy, I don't know why I haven't been taking that for the last week and a half because I didn't cough at all in the middle of the night.
Good.
And that's what's been keeping me up. No coughs all night. It worked.
Wow.
Tussin DM.
You died.
I'm dead.
Ready for Amy?
Yeah.
Amy.
Amy Hansen?
Cautionary tale.
It's Amy H.
I hope it's Amy Hansen
oh,
so
I
bad.
I would love it to be Amy Hansen.
Oh my God, can it please be Amy Hansen?
What if one of our friends called and told a really damaging story?
You know I'm dying for that. Hi.
Oh, that's us. Hold on. We didn't plug in.
We were chit-chatting. One secky.
Amy?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Now I can hear you beautifully. We weren't hooked up.
Oh my gosh, it's important to be hooked up, y'all.
Very.
You gotta be. What is this lovely collage poster behind you?
Well, this is for Monica. It's actually a quilt that our friend Luke Haynes made for me. Do you remember him?
Yes, Luke, who made our quilt. Oh my God, small world.
And the letters on it say, Hospitaliano. Is that Italian for hospitality?
You know, it's a made-up word. Have you ever been to the Olive Garden?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
In the 90s, when you walked in the Olive Garden, the host would say, Hospitaliano, to greet you.
Oh, they would.
It was like the dumbest thing. I always thought it was hilarious because it's just this word that Olive Garden made up. So when Luke made the quilt, he wanted me to put something on it that was like aspirational. So that's what I chose.
Oh, I love it. Incredible. Also, it's beautiful. He's so talented.
He's so talented.
And I don't want to get too off topic, but do you know the Zagat Guide where they review restaurants?
Yes.
They let their comedic side shine when they review Olive Garden in particular. I don't know if you've ever read any reviews in Zagat for Olive Garden.
I have not.
The two that I've memorized is, this Italian Denny's prides itself on blank, blank, blank. And then another one said, if you like airplane food Italian.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they were rough. Yikes. But I feel like that's where they cut loose a little bit.
That's hilarious. I'll have to look that up, especially since I'm such a fan.
What part of the South are you in?
How'd you know I was from the South?
Because you said y'all.
Well, I live in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, we like it there.
You know how much I love it, right? I talk about it all the time.
I just moved here 4 years ago from Austin, which is another great place.
You're hitting up all the good spots.
Yeah, you're ahead of me. You're living out many of my dreams.
I'm just going to keep going to like smaller and smaller, cool, hip, artsy beer towns until there's nothing left.
Okay, so you have a cautionary tale. Let's get to the business at hand.
I do have one. There might be several cautionary tales within this big meta cautionary tale. So,
okay, great.
This took place in the summer of 1996, and I was living in Austin. I'd just gotten out of college. I was living with my two roommates, Julie and Jason. I don't think we were working. We were just going to see shows and like drinking Shiner Bock and eating tacos. And that's what we did every day. It was so fun. So we had this friend named Ian who had rented a cabin for the summer about an hour south of Austin. And he invited us down one Friday afternoon to just hang out, party a little bit, get into some shenanigans. So we drove down and got there around 4:30 in the afternoon. So it was the three of us and then Ian and then this friend of his named Warren. This is all going to make sense in a second while there's all these people.
I can already tell Warren's going to be the variable we need to keep our eyes on.
Wow. You can already predict that.
I can feel that. He's going to be the issue.
Is
but
the
continue.
Cautionary tale, don't trust Warren's?
It's generally the friend of the friend that's the problem.
Totally. Yeah, this guy that we'd never met before was there, but the other four of us had been long-term friends. So, you know, we start drinking, we're hanging out, and the sun starts to set, and Ian's like, let's go down to the creek and see the water before it gets dark. It's really cool down there. You have to take this trail that's like a half of a mile, and then you get to this ridge line, and then you take these rustic steps down with like logs and rocks and shit. Then you get down to the creek and walk a little further. So as we're walking to the creek, my friend Julie and I kind of hang back and we're like, let's convince the boys to go skinny dipping and we'll take their clothes and run.
Oh, sure. Classic trick.
It's classic, right, Monica? Of course we're going to do that. We're going to steal their clothes and run. So that exact thing happens. We get down to the creek basin. We walk a little ways to get to deeper water. And we're like, hey, guys, what do you think about skinny? And like before we can even stop saying the sentence, they're already like 5 seconds. All their clothes are off. Their shoes are off and they're in the water.
They've been waiting their whole lives for two ladies to ask them to get naked. Yeah,
totally.
I'm sorry to interject now, but this sounds very much like Krause Springs.
Do you know where Wimberley is?
Yeah.
It was in Wimberley.
Okay.
Have you been to Krause Springs?
Yeah, a bunch of times. I love it. But you walk down all these pathways and there's a ridge and then there's a beautiful creek.
It's really similar.
My best friend lives in Wimberley.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. My God. Oh, my God. Shout out. Yeah.
Wobby Wobb's
who
best
is
friend
he?
Was
Let's it. Shout him out.
Matthew Vasquez.
Warren Vasquez.
Oh, my God.
Wasn't this Warren? I hope it wasn't this Warren. We're never going to get aired. This Warren does not like me anymore.
Okay, so they get naked. They jump in.
As soon as they do, you know, we bend down, scoop up all their clothes and their shoes, every single thing, and we just start running. We run up the steps. We're, like, laughing. You know how you laugh so hard? You're, like, out of breath. And just the visual, I'm imagining the three naked guys with shit swinging around, like, chasing after us. So we don't even turn around. We run straight to the cabin. We throw shit down. We get on the patio, and we're like, yeah, awesome. High five, pour some drinks, and just sit there and wait for them to come back up the trail. Because this cabin's in, like, a pod of other cabins. So there's other people out milling around. And we just thought it was going to be hilarious for them to come up the trail naked, and we would all have a big laugh. But, like, 20 minutes go by.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
30 minutes. Oof. No boys. It's getting dark outside.
Oh, no.
And we realize, like, something terrible has probably happened.
Oh.
Hmm.
We remembered that Ian, the guy who lived there, and Jason, our roommate, had grabbed little flashlights when we left the house. And remember, this is like the 90s, so there's no cell phones with flashlights or anything. It's like those little bitty mag lights.
Yeah.
So we start rummaging around in their pant pockets, and we find two mag lights, Ian's and Jason's, and we dig around in Warren's pants.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't find a flashlight, but what we found was the thickest pair of eyeglasses you've ever seen, like bottle thick.
No.
And the two of us pull it out and we're like, oh my God, this guy is, like, seriously visually impaired.
Yeah, legally blind for sure. And he didn't wear his glasses because he wanted to look handsome. And now he's trapped down in the water naked.
Exactly. And he didn't want to tell people he was blind.
Oh,
and
he wanted to be cool.
He didn't want us to know that.
Yeah. You're right. There's a lot of cautionary tales. One is, like, don't let your vanity kill you.
Oh, you're right.
Keep your glasses on.
Yeah.
Also, be nicer.
Well, I think that'll be over.
We realized, like, oh, we left this blind guy down there in the creek. It's super dark.
Oh, fuck.
We've got to go rescue them. So we grab the flashlights and we head back down the trail. And as I'm telling this, I was thinking about this morning, like, it's really funny. We did not grab their clothes or their shoes or anything. Of course, we're just like, get the flashlights and find these guys. So we get to the stairs area and hear the three of them come, and they looked like they had been to war, like a complete disaster. Our roommate, Jason, was covered in mud from head to toes, caked on him everywhere.
Like Lord of the
Scratches.
Flies.
Scratches?
Oh,
what
my
the
Lord.
Fuck? Was there a tiger?
His hair was all messed up. He had, like, sticks stuck on him. Ian, the guy who lived there, he was just dirty. He didn't look as bad. But that guy, Warren, y'all.
Oh, no.
Was blood coming out of his eyes?
Monica.
Jeez, Monica.
Well, you guys, he's blind.
He looked like someone had full force just punched him in the face.
Oh, no.
His eye was all swollen up. Like, it was a black and blue. He had a big gash on his forehead, like, with all this coagulated blood. He looked just totally dazed. His knees were all busted up.
Well, also, just think how scary it looked. Like, it's dark and they're shining a flashlight and they're revealing Warren's mangled face. Like, you gotta think of how dramatic, too, the lighting probably was. Did you guys go, like, when you shine the light on his face?
We're like, what the hell happened? Just as we suspected, like, as soon as we stole their clothes, they came charging after us. But since Warden couldn't see, he tripped over this log and he face planted immediately into a big rock.
Oh, Warren.
I want this story to be funny, but it's kind of sad too.
It's okay. It can be sad.
Life is both a comedy and a tragedy.
True. He'd fallen on his face and they thought he was a little concussed. And because it was getting so dark down there, they didn't want to just leave him.
Oh, yeah.
So Ian, the cabin guy, stayed with him while Jason, our roommate, tried to go find help.
Oh, my God. Naked. Was he lost?
Yeah.
How were you guys able to navigate to the cabin? Right. No problem. But Jason.
Because it had gotten dark outside.
And he kept slipping in the mud or something.
Wait for it, Monica. He couldn't find the rustic stairs back up to the ridgeline.
Okay.
Okay.
He had some rock climbing experience. So he decided he would climb up like the 25 or 30 foot wall to get up to the cliff above.
This is also a cautionary tale.
Well, he's drunk and young.
Oh, he's drunk. Yeah. I forgot.
Right. And remember, they're all still naked, which is important here because this wall of this cliff was covered in vines.
Oh.
And so he started fashioning like a harness out of the vines.
Oh my
like
Lord.
Wrap the vines around his feet, the vines around his waist. He put the vines between his legs to create like this kind of seat. And he literally climbed up all of these vines to the top. And then he helped the guys back up. So needless to say, nobody wanted to party anymore. Nobody liked us.
Yeah.
Everybody decided we should just go home. So we went home. We drove back to Austin.
That night, you didn't spend the night.
We just drove back. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was bad. No one talked in the car on the way back.
Oh.
But flash forward to the next morning, Julie and I are hanging out in the kitchen having coffee when we hear these sounds coming out of Jason's room, like whimpering, ill groans, sad things. We open his door and he was sprawled out on his bed with the sheets kicked off. He was, again, totally nude.
Mm.
And he looked like someone had taken his body and dipped it in, like, acid, or that he'd been burned.
Oh.
Like, his head and neck, arms, palms of his hands, torso, legs, feet.
My God.
Everything was, like, this magenta color.
And was he blistered everywhere?
Some blisters had started and all of his crotchal region.
Crotchal, yeah.
Front and the back.
Poison ivy?
The vines were some kind of poison.
Yeah. So we took him to the emergency room and the doctor diagnosed him with, and I quote, the worst case of poison ivy he'd ever seen in his entire career.
What did they do for that?
They shot him full of steroids, tons of Benadryl, but he was just on his back in his bed for days after that.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Did you guys feel so bad?
I still feel bad. It's taken me 25 years for me to even want to tell this story because I still feel so bad about it. I mean, that cliff that he'd climbed up was like Jurassic Park level, like poison ivy jungle.
And you know, the sad thing is it's such a G-rated joke. Like it started out so silly and innocent. It's almost like out of a movie about ninth graders.
Then.
Yeah. What was that?
Ninth graders? About ninth graders.
Yeah. It's so innocent and silly, and you guys almost murdered two people between Warren's concussion and this.
I know.
But also, cautionary tale for Jason, know your limits. You think you're this big rock climber, and you're not.
Right. It's almost like don't go chasing waterfalls.
Stick to the...
Yeah, like, you can climb rock. That doesn't mean you can climb vines. You're not Tarzan.
He took it a little too far with making his grundle and stuff.
Or his crotchal parts.
There was a lot of tales in there. But this one, I think, is just don't steal the Skinny Dipper's clothes.
And have you stayed in touch with Jason?
No. You know, it's been a long time. But we were still friends after that. I mean, we lived together for a while. That guy, Warren, though, he told Ian, like, I never want to see those girls again.
Well, you know, he doesn't have to see them if he doesn't wear his glasses.
You know what's crazy? Don't make fun of people.
I'm sorry. That was just good. Yeah, I can't believe you didn't laugh.
And I had to be sad. I was thinking, what's funny is I had this dead wrong, which is Warren wasn't the issue. You guys were the issue. And from Warren's point of view, it was like, well, these friends of friends fucking almost killed us. Warren's like the innocent,
sacrificial. You're the friends of friends.
Yes.
Oh my God, what a twist.
If you found Warren and he told the story, it would be the opposite side.
We're talking to Warren at 2:40, actually.
Oh my God.
I wonder where that guy is now.
That was a doozy. I mean, yeah. I'm going to say, yeah, no more pranks for anyone.
Well.
Yeah.
You got to add up all the pranks over time, the ones that went good, the ones that went bad. Did it curb your future prankiness? Did you back off pranks after that or no?
No, yeah, no. Just the stealing of clothes. I love to play pranks on people.
Yeah. That was a rhetorical question, but
wow.
Yeah, I had a hunch.
These cautionary tales are going to be
a bummer because no one's really learned any lessons.
Well, I guess that's true. Yeah. Maybe you're just telling the story to yourself. We do that sometimes. We tell other people the stories we need to hear.
That was kind of therapeutic. Thanks, guys. Needed to get that off my chest.
Well, Amy, that was a joy, and you seem like you were really fun to grow up with. I'm a little jealous that I wasn't in Austin with you or now in Asheville because I love to go skinny dipping and get poison ivy.
Come on. It's not too late.
Thank you for chatting with us.
Yeah, very nice meeting you.
Could I ask you a super favor to say happy birthday to my friend Lori? She is such an armchair fan. She loves you. She turned me on to you guys, and she's turning 50 next week.
Of course. Happy birthday, Lori. That means we were both born roughly the same time. I guess she was probably 74, but I'm knocking right on the back door.
Hope she has a great birthday.
Stay strong, Lori. Happy birthday.
Thank you both so much.
Yeah, take care, Amy.
Even though I wanted it to be Amy Hansen, that was very fun.
It was. She's a fun person, that Amy we just
talked
to.
Yeah, I hate pranks.
I know you do. Mm-hmm. They're one of your triggers.
They make triggers. Me cry.
Should we do that as a prompt?
Oh, yeah, that's good. Pranks yeah. Gone wrong.
Have we not done that one?
No, didn't we? Because remember the girl in her school?
Yeah, we did.
I don't care. We can do it again. We're going to have to recycle, for crying out loud. We got to do 48
again. Not yet.
For like
6 more years, then we recycle.
All right, here's Madeline.
Hi, Monica. Hi, Dax.
Hi, is this Madeline?
It's Madeline.
Look at your closet.
Madeline, it's one of the most beautiful names in the world, and I don't know if you've heard enough episodes to know that my grandmother's name was Madeline, and she thought because she was born in, I guess, the 30s, that Madeline was a grandma name and an ugly name. So guess what she went by her whole life? So much prettier. Midge.
Midge?
So much prettier. Objectively.
I love my name, so thank you so much.
No, it's so beautiful. We were always confused growing up. Like, why does Grandma Midge think Madeline is so gross, but Midge is like a super elegant name? Midge Boltink.
Oh, wow.
Yep, Boltink. You heard it.
She just doubled down.
I guess she did.
Good for her.
She did.
Yeah, maybe Madeline Boltink was too mixed messages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a straight shooter.
Madeline, where are you other than in your closet?
I'm in my closet in London, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, ooh. My God. So close to Detroit.
Yeah, pretty close.
Do you ever go to Detroit?
No.
Yeah, of course not. You're what, about an hour and a half from Toronto, 2 hours?
About 2 hours, yeah.
And you know Rachel McAdams is from your hometown, right?
Oh, my God.
She is. One time I saw her in a coffee shop.
Wow.
No.
What did she order?
Do you know, I don't know what she ordered. She was just in the coffee shop, but I used to work at the University of Toronto, and there was a coffee shop on campus that she went to.
Oh my God.
Was she with Ryan Gosling?
No, I don't think so.
Was she a student there?
No, I think that she was just in Toronto.
Can you tell us more about her?
I wish I could.
Okay, so Madeline, you have a cautionary tale. Does it take place in London, Ontario?
It doesn't. It actually takes place in Alberta in a city called Grand Prairie, which is quite north in Alberta.
Sounds beautiful.
It was like a prairie, but it was close to the mountain. So, I mean, I couldn't complain. It was back in 2017, and I moved there with my boyfriend at the time, who is now my husband, for his job. So we were going to move into our first house there, and we worked all week. And wait, should I tell you the name of my cautionary tale first?
Yeah, please. I didn't.
Oh, you made a name for it?
That's great.
I did. The cautionary tale, bottom line, is don't brush your teeth sitting in bed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I love this.
Okay, good, because that sounds very innocuous.
I wasn't expecting that. Like, it can't be dangerous.
Yes, we worked all week and then got home Friday afternoon, and we were going to pack up the house to move over the weekend. And so we packed until probably about midnight, decided it was time to call it quits. And so my husband went into the ensuite and was brushing his teeth, getting ready for bed. And I was like, I'm just going to take a beat, sit on the bed, scroll my phone for a minute.
Really quick, Madeline, I hate to interrupt your flow, but do you call the bathroom off of the bedroom an ensuite? You just educated me on something.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Wow. Do you know that, Monica?
Primary bath.
No, I've heard that.
Is it Canadian or
no,
is it's not?
Yeah, we call it that here.
Right? Okay, so he was in the ensuite, which is the bathroom connected to the bedroom.
That's correct.
Okay, lovely.
I was just sitting up against the pillow, scrolling my phone, and my husband's very sweet. Every time I'm around and I haven't brushed my teeth yet and he gets his toothbrush ready with the toothpaste, he does mine as well. So I knew it was sitting there waiting for me. So I was like, can you just pass me my toothbrush? I'll brush my teeth while I'm sitting here and get up and continue with my bedtime routine. And so he did, and I'm sitting there just brushing my teeth, and it's an electric toothbrush and it runs its course and it's done. So I'm sitting there holding it in my mouth still, getting up to go rinse. And since I was leaning on some pillows, I needed a little bit of momentum to get out of bed.
Okay.
So I leaned back and I went to like sit up. As I went to sit up, my knee also came towards me and it met my elbow and hit my toothbrush, which lodged into the back of my throat.
Oh my God. What?
So like I impaled my throat.
No.
With my toothbrush.
It punctured your throat?
It did.
No.
It went into my throat.
No.
Yeah. So I get up, I run to the bathroom and I like push my husband out of the way and I spit into the sink and it's just like a bloodbath.
Oh,
really quick, God. When you pulled your toothbrush out of your mouth, did you feel it coming out of the back of your throat?
Good question. I don't remember.
Yeah, you were in a state of shock.
Oh here. My God. Ah.
I know.
I already had the heebie-jeebies at the notion you were brushing your teeth without water.
Oh my God.
Like that's where my heebie-jeebies.
What do you mean?
The toothbrush had been buttered, then brought to her in bed.
Yeah.
For me to brush my teeth, I got to butter it and then I run it under water. I need a lot of water in there.
You
to
did
get
that.
Us-
before
so it came in almost drippy and a little
mine,
messy.
Yeah. Okay. Mine doesn't need to be I rinse it first, then I butter it, and then I brush.
But just imagine, like I did, dry toothbrush, toothpaste, then handed to you in bed, and you just start smearing paste all over your mouth.
I get what you mean. Okay. You need it to be a little wet, but he had already
great
gone ahead.
Yeah,
of
we didn't raw dog it.
Oh. Oh my God, I just remembered the whoa throat.
Oh yes, okay.
Bloodbath in the sink, and he's like, oh my gosh, what happened? And I was like, I hit my toothbrush in my throat. So he looks, and his face instantly changed from like, why are you pushing me, to like, oh my gosh, we have to go to the emergency room right now.
Oh gosh.
It's well after midnight. We're driving to the emergency room and we get there. We're in triage and the nurse is like, what happened? And I'm so embarrassed. Like, I don't want to tell her what happened.
Yeah.
What I say, as if this is any better, I say, I just brushed my teeth a little too hard.
Oh, that's worse.
Aren't we all weird? We're so weird. It's such a bizarre decision to make, but I can totally relate to doing
it. Me
too.
Yeah, I was like, fight, flight, or freeze. So they still provided me excellent care. We go into the waiting room and we waited probably an hour, which is not bad. We get into the patient room to see the doctor and he's just like flabbergasted, like has never seen anything like this before. And he's like, well, it's really late at night. I'm not calling the dentist on call, but we need to stitch this.
Oh.
He goes and gets the materials. He needs to put stitches in my throat.
I feel like you need a surgeon for this.
Me too. Because how do you even...
It's so deep in your... Okay, we'll get
exactly
to that.
Exactly. So he gets out this big, long needle, freezes it once the anesthetic sets in. He pulls up this huge needle that is like curved. Oh. Like it's like a...
Huge fish hook.
So he starts stitching and I'm laying back and there's all these like surgical lights above me and my husband's standing there and he's watching him and he'll do a stitch and then like pause for a second, take a step back. And at one point he's like, I understand why dentists have those suckers, because it was just like pooling saliva.
Oh, sure.
Blood in the back of my throat.
Yeah.
So we do a stitch, undo it. Like I couldn't feel the pain, but I could feel it. So anyways, he finishes up, writes me a prescription for antibiotics so I don't get an infection, and sends us on our way. So then the next day, I go to the pharmacy to get the antibiotics. And she's like, I see you have a penicillin allergy, but we normally don't prescribe this antibiotic. Can I ask what it's for? And I was just like, I can't tell her the story either. So I'm just like, oh, I have a cut in my mouth. And then I like ran out of there. It's fine now, though. Like, it healed up perfectly.
How many stitches did you receive?
Do you know what? I don't know, but I did send in pictures, like, before and after.
Oh, Rob says he doesn't have them, but I bet Emma has them. Did you send them to Emma?
I sent them to Emma,
yeah. Let me text her.
I gotta see this. I'm gonna regret seeing this, but of course I have to see this. So, wow, okay, that answers my question, because you can't get your fingers back in there, so you just have an enormous long fish hook that you do it with.
Yeah, that's how they do it, which I never would have known. I do wish he called the dentist on call, though.
I just love, though, that you're like ascending level of embarrassment. You had the one lie, which is I did it brushing my teeth, which you didn't. Then even that's too embarrassing. So now it's just I cut my mouth.
Yeah.
The idea of
could
having
you
a hole.
Swallow?
Yeah, when you were swallowing, what was happening?
It felt like, you know, when you have a sore throat and it's razor blades.
Yes.
Oh, you were just talking about that.
You just had that.
And that's a horrible feeling. So I took lots of Tylenol. I didn't really eat anything solid for a few days, but then it was like those stitches that dissolve and out they went and I just carried on.
Wow.
Yeah, and your mouth heals very quickly. I imagine your throat does too, right?
It does.
This is such a specific cautionary. I am scared now. I am definitely only going to brush my teeth in an upright
standing up in the in suite.
Yeah.
Although you don't have an in suite yet. Monica has to go in a hallway like a caveman to go to her bathroom.
I do. Sucks. It's a long walk. But maybe it saved my life.
Could have.
Oh, God.
I would love video of you trying to rock yourself. Picture. Oh, they've come. Let's see.
Oh, it is a legit just hole.
Okay, great, though. This is slightly better than I was expecting.
It's after the surgery.
Well, though. It's on the side of your mouth. Oh, here's a little more fresh before it's healed, I guess. Well, that's the stitches.
Yeah.
I was picturing the center punching your throat.
No, it was kind of like biting it.
It is throat. It's just a little on the side.
But also, your tongue is so cute. Do you notice how... You don't have any like white on your tongue or anything. It's
so
fresh. I just brush my teeth.
Well, look how healthy.
Maybe she did a filter on it.
This is like one of the healthiest tongues I've ever seen. It's like a baby's.
It does look nice. I feel a little weird that we're zooming in on
No. her tongue. You like this, right? Because it's so complimentary.
Sure.
I'd be so anxious if somebody was zooming in on a picture of my tongue.
Unless you had that tongue, you'd be like, yeah, go ahead and get close.
Things have gone too far, but we're very grossed out by your story.
Well, I'm glad you're grossed out by it. Actually, after I submitted, my friend was like, no, you should submit a different story.
No,
well, maybe we'll talk to you a second time for a different story. Do you have a lot of stories?
Yeah, I'm a pretty clumsy person, so I also had another good cautionary tale, but if something comes up about washing machines, maybe I can do that one.
Okay, great. Well, it's very nice to meet you, Madeline.
I'm glad you healed up.
Thank you for having me. This was like a bucket list experience.
Yeah, you probably don't even have a scar back there, right? Because the mouth heals so nicely.
Not that I've noticed.
Wow.
We'll send a picture, close-up picture of your tongue and the side of your mouth. I'll give it a good once over and I'll tell you.
You just want to see my tongue again.
It's gorgeous. You should be very proud. Well, really nice meeting you. Thanks for telling us that story.
Amazing. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to go look at my tongue in the mirror up close.
To see if it looks like
that. I
want
to see what
mine looks like.
I would
be very nervous that mine had like some white on it or something.
Because you're sick.
I don't know. I drink a lot of things.
I know.
I don't know.
Most of us.
You know, I don't want to make anyone self-conscious.
Uh-oh.
But
what?
You know, sometimes you see someone, their tongue's like white.
That's, you're right. We're not allowed to.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone's picking that or doing it intentional. I don't think you can give yourself that on purpose. But I brush my tongue really thoroughly every morning and every night.
Me too.
Because I have a big fear of having that whiteness.
Well, also that's where a lot of the bacteria lives. And you know where else it lives, according to my dentist? So once I learned this, I do it all the time. Your palate.
That's tickly.
Yeah, it's gaggy and tickly, but it's important to do.
I'll do it. Okay. I'll add that tonight. In fact, I can't wait now to brush my teeth. I might do it in bed.
No!
I'm not going to go into the ensuite.
Oh, my God.
You know what my therapist said to me? I've never laughed this hard in therapy. I haven't laughed this hard in a very long time. But he said to me, well, you are, let's say, very resistant to learning.
Oh, that is...
That hit me.
That's not true, though.
So hard. In many ways, it's really a bullseye.
I mean, in some ways, it's true. In some ways, it's not true.
Yeah, it really floored me.
I'm glad you could hear that.
Oh, my God. You know, like when someone hits something.
You only can only hear that coming from a few people.
Hence the you have a hard time learning.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't trust anybody or anything. So kind of came out of the blue. But I just said that because.
Tongues?
Yeah, because I am going to try brushing the roof of my...
And you're going to try to impale yourself.
No, I'm just going to make an effort to be more open to learning.
Oh, that's good.
I was laughing so hard because I'm like, it's so right and how embarrassing. I'm expressly someone who claims to love learning. I like learning info from a book that no one has to deliver to me.
I know.
We are supported by ZipRecruiter. Are there some fantastic concerts coming to your city this summer? Mine too. In fact, Anderson .Paak's playing at the Hollywood Bowl. I can't wait for
it. Ooh, that's exciting.
If you want to be sure to see your favorite artists, you need to jump on it right away. I've already DM'd him saying, yes, I got to be in that front row. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So, what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dax. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Dax. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Dax. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. We are supported by Squarespace. Guys, we have a Squarespace website that's just gorgeous. That Wobby Wob, you built that yourself using all the templates, yeah?
I sure did.
Yeah, easy peasy?
So easy.
The best part about Squarespace is it's an all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. You can get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools, and you can choose from professionally curated layouts and styling options with Squarespace Blueprint. Plus, you can kickstart or update written content on any website, product description, or email with Squarespace AI. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial and save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain with the code DAX. We are supported by BetterHelp. Listen, I understand that sometimes you want to keep things to yourself, process your emotions in your own time. But if you keep everything bottled up, it can have some serious consequences.
I have therapy on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to it.
I had therapy this morning.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and it put me in the greatest mood. We had a long, big day, and I just felt much better for having
some. Not to out you, you were a little grumpy going in.
I was.
Robin and I received some texts this
morning. I was locked out of my therapy setting, which is this attic.
But then you felt much better after.
I felt much better. And I even made some apologies. Talking things out can be so helpful. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. Check out BetterHelp if you've been thinking of trying therapy. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible. It's also easy to get started. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for any reason for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Dax today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Dax.
All right, here's Eric.
Eric Richardson? Mm. All our friends are calling in. Hi.
Is it Eric?
Yeah.
You've draped some kind of makeshift sound dampener behind you. I like it.
Me too.
It's blankets and like one of those arc lights. I got some like potato chip bag clips.
Oh,
you went all out.
It looks good. It sounds good. We appreciate it.
Are you a fabricator by trade or just today you stepped up to the plate?
You called me on it. I'm an architect.
Oh
my God.
I'm a nerd.
Architects are cool. My best friend's dad is an architect, and he's very cool.
Where are you at?
I'm in Seattle.
Great town for an architect.
It is.
And do you do commercial or everything? Did you love Fountainhead? Do you like Howard Roark? Tell me.
You know, I read it when I was in the 8th grade. When I was a little kid, I was obsessed with it. I was like, that's what I want to do. Then it kind of came out later that it's just this kind of narcissism, and there's all this toxic philosophy in it. And I was like, huh, yeah. But I did a long roundabout thing before I got into architecture. I went and I was a design builder and I built like earth houses.
Okay, wow.
Wow.
Very Washington of you.
I lived all over the place. So I moved all around in Colorado, California.
You've done it all.
Yeah.
The Fountainhead, I think, appeals to a young man a lot. Because it's all about having conviction in who you are and a vision. And then you get older and you're like, yeah, it's my way or the highway. And then I'm lonely and no one likes me. So maybe there's another approach.
Well, that's the biggest problem with architecture is egos. We call them like, you know, the caped architects. They come in and it's like, I've come to save you poor, ignorant people.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And I mean, it is one of the most collaborative professions there are. And it should be all about good interdisciplinary thinking. You know, asking the questions is the funnest part.
You sound nice, like my architect, Bill. Shout out. I love him.
That as the highest praise.
It is.
Okay, you have a cautionary tale.
Yes, this is actually from my honeymoon.
Oh.
2007, my wife and I got married in Portland. We wanted to go to Thailand for like a month and really like do it up. My wife's best friend decides to get married the week after, though we've been planning it for forever. So anyway, we have to like go to New York City right after. So we're like, okay, where's close? We were kind of dirtbag kids. 27 is kind of young, I guess, to get married.
Yeah.
So we've done Central America a bunch, but we've never been to Belize. It's super beautiful. For a honeymoon, it's great because there's not a lot to do. So you can just do what you need to do on your honeymoon.
And it's on the Caribbean, yeah?
Yeah. We were in Ambergris Key. We stayed at this little beach cabana, three cabanas, and then like a restaurant, like a little tiki bar type thing.
This sounds like heaven.
I want to go.
Yeah.
It really was like the owners, maybe they've been on like Jimmy Buffett tour too long.
Yeah.
Like stayed too long in Margaritaville.
Parrot heads.
A little bit older. Expats. Very nice.
Boozy.
Very boozy. I think one of them was reformed, but then it would like kind of go off the rails.
Oh. Sure. Dax Shepard type.
Yeah. They have a 14-year-old son, and there was always this kind of like tension and drama. Like he was always getting into trouble. We're just having a good time. And we're trying to like ignore all of that. There are these like kind of fights and like, we're going to send you to military school.
Oh my God.
It was a little bit of a lot. But anyway, so we kind of ignore that. We have beautiful days. And then on the third night, we went to the like the nice local restaurant. My wife decides to eat the salad.
Oh,
okay.
And I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. The next day, Jackson Pollock and porcelain type situation.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to like stick around, but you know, out of here.
Monica policy.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, what do I do? And then I remember this kid that I've been like trying to put out of my mind. He was very boisterous. He was like, I'll show you the best spots on the islands for spearfishing. I was like, oh, great. You know, that's going to be fun. I'd lived in Hawaii, done some spearfishing before. I was like, that sounds great. So I got really excited. I'm like a big child when it comes to the ocean. Fins, masks, spears, hop into a kayak. The whole place is like this big linear beach. And then there's a reef. I did my Monica fact check. It's the longest barrier reef in the Western Hemisphere.
Wow.
700 miles. There's like a half a mile between the beach and the reef. And it's just this kind of like monolithic extrusion.
Yeah. Ooh.
So we went out. There are different little anchor spots. You tie off your kayak. It's like a swimming pool. There's not a lot going on. It's kind of boring. And there's no fish. So it's kind of like, what about the next spot? This kid kind of had a lot of pidgin-y isms.
Oh, okay.
What's that mean? What
hybrid language, like slang, island slang.
He was like, really trying to fit in, take on the local language, but it was kind of like,
yeah. Okay. sure. Poser.
Yeah. We went to the next spot. Same thing. We went to another spot. Each time, you know, he's like, oh, big time. I know what you know, we're going to find the deep spot. You know, it's going to be great. Tons of fish. Every time I was like, all right. You know, I think it's third or fourth time. And like, we left at like 8 a.m. It was well afternoon, like 1 or 2. We just brought water. It was like hasty. When I was running out to the kayak, I was like applying the sunscreen myself.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't want to ask my wife, but something snapped within this kid because I started complaining and like questioned, I think, his masculinity a little bit. You know, it's like, okay, fine. I got it. We're going to go to the spot. I was like, all right, great. I think this is a breakthrough moment. So we paddle way farther south from where we were. Half an hour paddle. Same thing, anchor, tie off. Hop in and we start cruising around and does start to like drop off and get deep. And I'm like, oh, this is sweet. Start going down and checking stuff out. Like, this is perfect. And as I'm just kind of happy, enjoying it, you know, look over to the kid, like, good job. About that time, I started to realize that we're being pulled and being pulled pretty fast.
Oh, you're in like a current.
Basically, he took me to this huge channel where there's this kind of cut in the reef. We're like in this river where basically at low tide, that whole 700-mile thing was just emptying out in this channel out through the reef.
Oh, my God.
I look around at him, and again, I'm like, all right, time to turn around. And so we basically just start paddling back. We're paddling pretty hard. This is probably like a quarter-mile gap in the reef, so there's no rocks on either side. But we're just continuing to get pulled out.
Oh, boy.
It starts to fuck with your head. I knew that the last thing you want to do is panic, just stay calm. This kind of went on. We got pulled out into the ocean pretty much, just like past the reef. All right, now we need to kind of figure out a way to like come back around. And so we started trying to get to the edge of the channel.
Really quick, are you swimming or are you in the kayak at this point?
We're swimming. We have our like fins and masks on. We have our spears.
Well, yeah. Don't lose those. Yeah.
Like a couple of idiots. So as we're like out there trying to come back, when you're like a half a mile away, you don't realize how big the waves are on the reef. The waves are huge, crashing on big, jagged, rocky reefs. We're trying to like thread the needle of getting out of that big channel in the current and getting close to the reef, but not too close. And we were probably paddling like an hour or so, just trying to get back in. And it started to go through those like head games of my wife flying back by herself.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear about Eric? What an idiot. They never found him.
Oh.
Or I was like thinking, oh, well, we're going to be those people that are just like out in the open ocean for multiple days, slowly getting pecked at. So it was like all these terrible thoughts. And I swear to God, I could see back to the cabana like a half a mile away. And I could imagine my wife just sitting there, just like, where is he? What's going on? Like, it's just like, please. I think as I was spinning in my head, this kid was also totally losing his shit. Yeah. Freaking out.
Of course.
So he like pulled his mask off, you know, water. And he's like, I can't.
Oh God.
I'm not as tough as I thought I was. And I don't speak pidgin.
The mask was off. Like literally the mask was off. The dark part of our brains was like, he can't swim anymore. Like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah. Every man for themselves at this point.
And then I was like, I'm not going to ditch the owner's kid and try and go and get help. Grab the kid's hand. And I'm like, we're fucking going. Like, you are swimming. Kick. Like, stop. And I think basically because I had to convince him
yes.
to keep going,
yeah.
I basically talked myself into continuing to push and kick.
Oh.
You told him what you needed to hear.
Pretty much. We made it out right around the edge. There are a few times where we got pretty close to the rocks, but got out, got back to the kayak, paddled back onto the beach, stumbled into the cabana. The first thing I did was just lean into the sink and just drink out of the sink, which is like the last thing you should ever do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I didn't have water in multiple hours. My whole back, you could see where my fingers were trying to apply.
Yeah.
And there was just this like red raised welt. So the cautionary tale is don't do anything aggressive on your honeymoon.
That's not the time.
Don't listen to boisterous kids and take them for their word, which is obviously like a duh.
Yeah, I feel like the cautionary tale is much more don't allow a 14-year-old boy to lead you anywhere.
Because they're going to be full of bravado and they do not know what they're doing.
They're trying to act like a man.
It's like an awkward situation where it's like, oh, this kid's kind of a guy. This is right. Totally yes. Fine, right?
Sure. Yeah. And I don't know what 14 years old is on the island. Maybe that's 19 in New York.
I hope he got sent to military school.
I kept pushing him too. I only made it worse.
Well, maybe that's part of the cautionary tale. Don't
challenge your 14-year-old guy.
Just hang out with your wife when she has the honus, right?
Oh, that would have been so sad for her if she got food poisoning and her husband died.
Well, and then she would tell herself it was her fault. Because had she not gotten food poisoning, he wouldn't have left her.
No, she'd be like, my husband's an idiot.
In a weird way, and I don't know why I think this, but I've been in the situation probably 4 times in my life where you're losing your shit and you have to say, oh, this is that time you hear about. You need to get your thinking together or you actually are going to die.
Yeah.
I feel like my Bora Bora story that you probably heard is very similar. Being halfway between that island and the barge I jumped off of and just going like, yeah, well, I can't swim to either of those points. I don't have enough energy left. But in a weird way, I'm super grateful to have had that experience. Do you feel that way? Like, I feel like people should have that.
No, because a lot of people die.
This has happened twice, though. I one time when I lived in Hawaii, I was out swimming with the dolphins. Perfect day. The humpbacks are just there. I can totally see them. Pectoral fins waving. Tried to go farther out. And yeah, I had a really long, tough bout trying to get back.
Where you keep like getting on your back. You're like, well, the only way I'll make it is if I float on my back and paddle, but then you can't see where you're going. You get off course.
Just no more oceans.
Yeah, so I don't fuck with the ocean anymore.
Yeah, smart. Yeah.
That was strike 2. Strike 3, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want to ever like get on a cruise ship and get like knocked off.
I think about that every time I've been on a cruise ship. You're out at night looking at the stars. It's beautiful. But then you start looking at the churning water. It's black and you're like, oh my God, and it takes the boat like 5 miles to turn around. That's kind of terrifying. Well, Eric, I'm really glad you made it. I actually am more curious. So that was 17 years ago. So that boy's 32.
Oh my God.
God.
I wonder if he took over the family business.
Maybe he'll call in for a prompt at some point.
I was an idiot kid, so no judgment. And also, I was an idiot 27-year-old.
Yeah.
True.
Well, it's very nice meeting you and hearing that story.
I just have to say, you're obviously at the top of the game. And what you do, for me, it's like, how can I be a better human? Your honesty, your love, your truth, your banter, everything. You guys brings so much joy to my life, and I know so many other people. So thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank That's so you, sweet. Eric.
Well, it's so nice meeting you. You're every bit of every armchair. You're super smart so and kind. Nice.
We're grateful for you.
Yeah, big time.
Back at you.
All right.
Bye.
Be well.
I'm so glad he didn't drown before he listened to us.
Me too.
We could have had one less armchair. Download.
We need him.
We love him. Okay, seriously though, I'm saying it and I mean it. I'm never getting in an ocean.
Oh, wow.
Because I already hate it and I already have spidey senses. It's not good for me. But
we've had an enormous.
We've had so many bad stories.
Yeah, the ocean's a bit unpredictable.
Yeah. I prefer my unpredictable.
On terra firma?
Yeah, in my friends.
Oh, okay. In your connections group?
Yeah.
Here's Riley.
Hello.
Hi.
Riley, what does your sweatshirt say? Camp something?
Yeah, it says the camp store, Carlsbad. I'm from San Diego, so we go camping in Carlsbad every year.
Are there caves or caverns or something?
Yeah, there are, but we camp right on the Carlsbad State Beach, and I got it because it looks like Padres colors.
Oh, wow.
It's a double.
It's a cool sweatshirt.
Your voice sounds like somebody, and I can't place it.
Well, give me some time. I'll work on it. Okay, where are you at currently?
Currently, I'm actually in a place called Jersey Channel Islands, which is in between England and France. It's 11:20 p.m. where I'm at.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
In my head, when I imagined this moment, I was never in a hotel in Jersey, but my dad's from here. So like all my family lives here. So I'm just out here visiting family.
Oh, fun. And is it owned by France or England?
England, but it's actually closer to France.
Interesting.
Wow, mixed messies.
Okay, you have a cautionary tale.
My cautionary tale is set in 2019. I was a sophomore in college at San Diego State. Like I said, I'm from San Diego, so I was working at a brewery next to my house where my parents lived. And I was kind of on like a health kick, not feeling so great after 2 years of college partying. I was trying to be more active, going to spin class, going to yoga, drinking kombucha, like on a health wave. So every day I'd come into work and I'd bring a kombucha with me. I had this one coworker who took special interest in me. I was not reciprocating, but yes, he was nice. And one day he came into work and was like, I brought you something. And he's like, it's a kombucha. And I'm like, well, that's awfully observant of you. Thanks. I'll take it. Even though didn't really want to take it, mostly because it was watermelon, which is not a flavor I enjoy.
Okay.
But I was like, whatever. I'm just going to take it to avoid the awkwardness. And I also just felt awkward. I'd rather just do my job, take your nice gesture, move on. But I didn't want to drink it because I just don't like the flavor. So I put it in my car, forgot about it. Fast forward like 2 weeks, I'm driving home from spin class. Life's good. I get home and I'm like, I'm going to clean out my car. I was cleaning everything out, grabbing everything I possibly could in my hands. And I see the kombucha bottle underneath my seat. And I'm refusing to take two trips.
Yes, of course.
Cautionary tale already.
Cautionary tale number one. Mm-hmm. Take two trips.
I'm putting everything in my arms. I'm carrying it all. And as I'm walking into my garage, I can hear like my phone's calling somebody.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, what? So I'm trying to fumble around, trying to turn off the phone because I don't know who I'm calling. Can't see it. And I can feel the kombucha slip out from underneath my armpit. It hits the ground. It makes the loudest sound. Like I can hear it in my head to this day. And it explodes into like a billion pieces.
Yeah, because the pressure in those things build up, right? As it ferments, it's releasing gas and getting pressurized.
Right. It's been in my car for like a couple hot weeks.
Bumpy, bumpy, swervy, swervy, shaky, shaky.
It's been ready to go. So it explodes into like a billion pieces. It makes the loudest noise. I'm like, what the hell? I look down and there is a hole in my leg.
Were you wearing shorts? Oh, because you're coming from spin class.
I'm in my spin outfit. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh.
And meanwhile, my best friend, I can hear her voice going, hello, Riley, Riley, are you good? If I would have just let the phone call go, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah,
number two.
I see the hole in my leg. I'm like, okay, what the hell? So I get on the ground. I'm in like a very interesting position on all fours, but with my leg kind of like propped up.
Interesting choice to observe your leg, but I understand that's what happened.
It was like right here on my leg.
Above ankle.
Gap between ankle and calf in back.
So I'm like looking into my leg. There's no blood, just a big hole like this big.
What?
No. She's putting up the size of a silver dollar.
The second I start to sit down, blood is rushing out like all over. I'm wearing a sock. It fills the sock and I'm like, okay, shit. Nope. Ew. Going back up. So I call my mom like, hey, I've dropped something. I've cut myself. And we're probably going to need to go to urgent care. I'm fine. Everything's fine, but it's pretty bad. And can you come home? She's like, Riley, I'm in line in the grocery store. Can I check out with my stuff first?
Yeah, this would be me. And by the way, this is a family tradition because she too can't deviate from this. Like making two trips for her would be, you know.
You're right. Yeah. What if she dropped all her groceries and then, and her legs then she also got a hole in her leg?
Amputated her. Yeah. And then she called her father.
Yes.
He lost his sternum.
So she's like, okay, fine. I'll come right now. I'm like, yeah, please just come. Oh, a work shirt was something that was in my pile of my arms. So I take the work shirt. I like tie it as tight as I can around my ankle.
Great.
So I'm just waiting. Feels like 45 minutes, but it was probably like five. She was not very far away. She gets there. She's like, okay, let me see. So I unravel and I show her. She's like, I'm calling 911. Monica, I'm sure you'd appreciate that.
I love her. Cut to the chase.
You guys love 911.
I love it. Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
That might sound like a little bit silly, but there was glass literally everywhere. We didn't know what was in there, what had happened. We didn't want to cause any more damage. If we tried to move me, let's just call 911. They get there. I'm still just kind of being like, what the hell? They wrap me up. They put me in the ambulance. They take me to the emergency room. And I'm like sitting there and I'm crying finally. And they're like, oh, are you in pain? And I'm like, honestly, I'm not in pain. I'm just so frustrated.
You're mad at yourself?
Yeah. Like now I'm going to have to get stitches. I'm not going to be able to like go to my workout classes. I'm not going to be able to be active. I'm going to have to prolong my health journey for like another 2 weeks. I'm just annoyed. This is so avoidable. I get to the hospital and after a while they come and they're like, we're going to clean it out. And they stick like a bottle inside of my leg and just squeeze as hard as they possibly can. And I start screaming. I'm like, okay, that hurts. That hurts. That hurts. And they're like, oh, do you want us to numb it first? I'm like, that was an option. Yes, I would like you to numb it first. And so they numb it. They stitch me up. They're like, okay, you're good to go. Just stay off of it for like 2 weeks. And they're like, hold on. We should maybe check your Achilles because it's kind of like right over your tendon. I'm like, okay, yeah, go ahead. They have me lie down on my stomach and they squeeze my calf. Because that's how you can manually check your Achilles. Your foot will move. They squeeze my calf, blinding pain, foot not moving.
Oh, boy. It severed your Achilles. No! This is Greek all of a sudden.
Icarus.
And they're like, you might have a little bit of a tear, might have a little damage. You should just follow up with ortho. And in my head, I'm still thinking like, it can't be that bad. We go meet with another doctor the next day. And he's like, yeah, if it's not hanging on by a fiber, I say it's completely cut.
What?
Really quick, when they got in there and they flushed it out and then they stitched it, did they find a big chunk of glass?
No.
And did they find the watermelon SCOBY in there?
They found nothing. They even did an x-ray to make sure that there wasn't anything in there before they stitched it up. He was like, yeah, I'm going to have you meet with a surgeon because they're going to need to repair it. So I meet with the surgeon. He's telling me very nonchalantly, right, you're not going to walk for a year. That health journey is just getting pushed farther and farther in the distance.
You'd be lucky if you're still alive. Your health's going to decline so rapidly.
Yeah. So he's like, a full year for full recovery. I'll put you in a series of casts. Those fibers will naturally grow back together. So we can actually avoid surgery. Then we'll put you in a boot with ankle lifts. So that we'll gradually put it down. And then we'll get you walking and physical therapy and all the works. And I'm like, how did this just happen? I can't believe I've done this to myself. He didn't believe me when I told him the story. He was like, just so you know, this is a one in a million chance. I'm like, wow, I'm so lucky. He tells me all that. He's like, we're going to get an MRI just to make sure. So I get home after doing my MRI and he calls me and he's like, there's a 4 centimeter gap in your Achilles. And it was much lower than normal because it was a slash, not a tear.
Yeah.
Sick.
So he's like, this is going to be the biggest incision that I do as an orthopedic doctor for feet and ankles. And I'm going to go all the way up to the back of your knee from your heel.
What?
Oh my God.
This guy's a Frankenstein.
Right. He's like, I'm going to have to get creative. I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure what going to do.
Oh, wait, they should never say that. They should never say that.
He basically said, I'm going to wing it.
Cautionary tale number three, don't tell people that.
Well, when your doctor says he's going to wing it, second opinion time.
So he's like, when I get in there, there's a couple of options. I could shave a piece of your calf tendon and then sew it to the starting gap and then nail it into your heel. And I'm like, I'm going to be honest. I don't even want to know. Whatever you got to do, just do it. My mom did ask like a friend who was a doctor, should we get a second opinion? And she was like, honestly, he's the best in the business. If he's saying this, this is what's happening. So just go for it and get it done as soon as possible. So I go into surgery and my parents get a call like an hour and a half later. They were expecting the surgery to be like 6 hours. And my mom's thinking like, oh my God, she's dead. She's freaking out. And he's like, when we got in there, it was just coiled up.
Okay.
When they cut it, it was like a rubber band and just sprung up and coiled up. He could just unravel it.
Oh my God.
Fish it out.
And reattached it.
Wow. So could you walk in less than a year?
I could, but I had a gnarly limp. And I still kind of have a limp to this day, but I think that was just kind of like the nature of the injury being so awkwardly placed. I have a very funky scar. Like usually Achilles surgeries are straight. Mine's shaped like an S because it was going along the site of the laceration.
That's his creativity. Yeah.
That's his signature.
So yeah, whether the cautionary tale be not to accept a gift from somebody you don't want to, take more than one trip to the car, or to always carry a kombucha bottle with two hands.
There's a lot of lessons in here.
Wow.
The one I'm most drawn to, because I constantly do this, and I even admit to myself at a certain point, it's taking me way more time to stack this stuff on my arms in this manner. And you realize you've passed the point of no return in the middle of it. You're like, yeah, I would be done by now if I would have just taken two trips. I'm the most disappointed in myself when I do that.
Imagine how I felt.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, the laziness of us.
It's not lazy. We think we're being efficient. We think we're not being lazy. We think it's like, this is the smartest, fastest way to get this thing done.
Plus, I can't bear to take a second trip.
Every time I pass like a kombucha at the store, or if my friends see one, they'll send me a picture and they'll be like, watch out. They have those like big giant ones now. I'm like, that's my worst nightmare.
Yeah, I'd break your femur. Have you heard the show enough to know who Perfect 10 Charlie is?
I listen to the show religiously, and I haven't told anybody that I'm on this show because they know how much this show means to me. And so I'm just going to be like, I tell you guys to listen to this all the time. Please listen to this episode. It's so good.
Oh, that's exciting.
This is a great plan. Also, now we've transitioned from cautionary tale to advice. This is an advisable strategy.
What is?
That she's just going to trick everyone into hearing her. Yes. Really, I like this.
Did you get the voice? I think I have it.
Oh. Who?
Jennifer Lawrence.
It's not doing what I wanted it to do, but I never figured it out for me either.
I got distracted by your story, to be honest. I know I had declared I was going to figure it out, but then I completely stopped thinking about that.
I did start thinking about something else, which is you kind of do look like what Lincoln will look like.
Okay.
I can see. Can you see that?
She looks identical to Seth's wife, Claire, too. You've got a lot going on.
You have a lot. Wow. Well, anyway.
So Perfect 10 Charlie, he snapped his. He was humiliated by how it happened. He was doing virtually nothing, and he's a professional bodybuilder. And yeah, his snap. But he didn't get surgery, and same thing, a year of just barely limping around and waiting. He just now can like hike and everything. It's such a bummer of an injury.
It was the worst, especially because I wish I was doing something athletic or something cool or like anything else besides a freak accident that was absolutely unnecessary. But you know, it is what it is. It's a part of my many collections of stories. And I'm here now.
Worth it. Not really, but kind of. This past, I was really listening. It is very specific. And there is someone who you sound identical to.
In like
no one ever tells you anything?
Sometimes people will say that I look like people, but never the voice.
Who do they say you look like?
Lincoln when she gets older.
Lincoln in 2036.
My hair growing up was blonde. People always told me I looked like Scarlett Johansson. And then I dyed my hair red, and then I became Black Widow.
Oh, wow.
So still Scarlett.
I'll take it.
If I listen to this episode without looking at her, I'll be able to get it.
Okay. We'll get back to you.
TBD.
I would love to know.
Oh, I guess my last single question is, if you ever found yourself trying to take one trip again and then been like, you fucking asshole, you already learned this lesson.
All the time.
Still do it.
And every time I'm holding any kind of bottle, it's always two hands.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh yeah, that's it.
That's good.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Really?
Yep.
Oh my God, that's the huge
That is it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's like the best person you could have said.
Oh, I love her.
I love her. Like, I am like the product of the Hannah Montana era. That is my shit. So I've been with her through all the eras, all the things. She's my favorite.
And you kind of look like her too. Like, it's the whole thing. Wow. Good job.
Boy, I'm glad I got that.
Yeah, that was exciting.
That was really exciting. That was not what I was expecting.
What a pop out.
Riley, Miley.
Oh my God. What if your last name was Montana?
This feels like a rip in the space-time. Or
Byrus. Riley Byrus.
This is really turning into something.
I know. It's very Sims happening. Okay, Riley, so glad we went long so we could figure that out, that mystery.
Yes, thank you.
Me too. Last thing I wanted to say was my mom and I, we love you as Carl and baby mama.
Oh, thank you, Carl Loomis.
My dad passed away like 4 years ago, and we went through a period where my mom and I would only watch rom-coms before bed just to kind of soothe the soul, and baby mama was on rotation. So thank you for that.
That's Amy and Tina's compliment, but I appreciate it.
You're a huge part of it.
Oh, thank you so much. Great meeting you. Love your voice. Keep on rocking in the free world.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Carl Loomis. I don't get a lot of shout outs for Carl Loomis.
It's a funny character.
It was very fun to be in New York in the springtime.
Okay, cautionary tale. Those were really good. I learned a lot. No oceans, no teeth brushing. No one trip, always two trips.
I didn't learn that, but I needed to hear that. Back to my thing. I didn't learn anything because I'm...
You're resistant
to learning. What a terrible character.
Seems like everyone in the world is resistant to learning. They've all done these things many, many times.
That's true.
That makes me a little depressed.
Yeah, we're forgetful.
As Rami says.
Yes, the Arabic word for human is forgetful.
I think he has a new special that's supposed to be good. I want to see it.
I saw a guy hiking. I think I was hiking with my hiking buddy, Jake Johnson, and I saw Rami walking at us down the street.
They say hi.
And I was like, oh my God, what's up? Not Rami. A guy that looked just like Rami.
Cautionary tale.
And when I called him out and
stopped
him. Did you
say Rami or did you say hey?
I go, Rami. Yeah. No, I told him, oh my God, dude, I thought you were Rami Youssef. He's fine because we're both on TV, the guys that stopped him. So we get a little pass for
that. That's not fair.
I know it's not, but
okay,
I'll take it.
Well, if we're doing cautionary tales, don't do that and you won't get a pass because you're probably not famous.
Okay. But he wasn't offended. Because Rami's cute.
Of course. Well, you wouldn't be offended, but you'd be like, oh, man, I wish I was Rami.
Okay.
Well, we learned a lot and nothing.
Knock on wood.
Knocked on wood. And I love you.
I love you, too.
Do you want to sing a tune or something? We don't have a theme song.
Oh. Okay, great.
We don't have a theme song for this new show, so here I go, go, go. We're going to ask some random questions, and with the help of armchairs, we'll get some suggestions. On the fly rhyme dish, on the fly rhyme dish, enjoy.